Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayo Radha. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari.
Gopi Jana Vallabha
Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari. Jaya Gopi Jana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari.
Gopi Jana Vallabha Girivara Dhari.
Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari.
Yamuna Tira Vanachari.
Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Nitai Gaura Premanande. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Hare Krishna, good morning. So we are continue studying Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 22, entitled The Marriage of Kardama Muni and Devahuti, and today's verse number 14. Aham tva Srinavam vidvan. Aham tva Srinavam vidvan. Vivartham sa vivahartham samudyatam. Vivahartham samudyatam. Atastvam upakurvana. Atastvamupakurvana Pratam prati grihaname Pratam prati grihaname Aham tva srinavam vidvan Vivahartham samudyatam Atastvamupakurvana Pratam prati grihaname Christian. Thank you. Word meaning aham, I, tva, you, ashrinavam, hurt, vidvan, a wise man, vivaha artham, for the sake of marriage, samudyatam, prepared, ataha, hence, Tvam, you, upakurvanaha, not taking a vow of perpetual celibacy. Pratam, offered, prati grihana, please accept, me, of me. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Svayambhuva Manu continued, O wise man, I heard that you were prepared to marry. Please accept her hand which is being offered to you by me, since you have not taken a vow of perpetual celibacy. Purport. The principle of brahmacharya is celibacy. There are two kinds of brahmacharis. One is called Naishtika Brahmachari, which means one who takes a vow of celibacy for his whole life, whereas the other, the Upakurvana Brahmachari, is a brahmachari who takes the vow of celibacy up to a certain age. For example, he may take the vow to remain celibate up to 25 years of age. Then, with the permission of his spiritual master, he enters married life. Brahmacharya is student life, the beginning of life in spiritual orders. And the principle of brahmacharya is celibacy. Only a householder can indulge in sense gratification or sex life, not a brahmachari. Svayambhuva Manu requested Kardama Muni to accept his daughter, since Kardama had not taken the vow of Naishtika Brahmachari. He was willing to marry, and the suitable daughter of a high royal family was presented. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Pachitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamine Chinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Ajanulambita Bujo Kanakavadato Sankirtanai Kapitaro Kamalaya Taksho Vishvambaro Dvijavaro Yugadharma Palo Vande Jagat Priyakaro Karunavataro Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yat Kripatamaham Vande Shri Gurundinataranam Hare Krishna. Good morning. Thank you for blessing me with your presence, all the senior devotees. Shesha Prabhu, Pundarik Vidyaniti Prabhu, Karnapur Prabhu, thank you very much. And all the Matajis, thank you very much for blessing me by dedicating your time for hearing this fallen soul. All right, so today we continue studying this beautiful Bhagavatam. And yesterday Nagaraj Prabhu was very nicely explained all these stories from the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's very nicely he explained, like very in color. You know, recently I just finished ninth canto. Currently, I'm on a tenth canto, just in the beginning. But yeah, I'm still, and it was very nice to refresh in the memory of these stories from the ninth canto. It's actually so many valuable instructions in the ninth canto, and every time I read a specific canto, and I think, well, yeah, this is my favorite canto now. And every time I read another canto, yeah, this is my favorite. So many instructions in each canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So basically in the ninth canto, it is described how many troubles arise when the men and women joined together. So many. Nagaraj Prabhu explained that there is not much stories about the sages, because with the sages everything is all right. They just meditating. They they have no problems, troubles in life. So they're just happy in life. And actually, if you want to really be happy, you have to take the sage lifestyle. Like I remember Jayadvaita Maharaj, when I was Brahmachari, he said, please remember those days, because this was the best days in your life. So, and I think everybody can confirm that the Brahmachari life is the best time of the Krishna consciousness movement. Because as soon as Srila Prabhupada said that man is good, woman is good, but mixing is bad. So actually, of course, we have Krishna consciousness life, grihastha life, that's also good if we properly trained to do that. Today we're gonna elaborate a little bit more about the difference of Naishtika Brahmachari and Upakurvana Brahmachari, Upakurvana Brahmachari. And also we will mention the third type of Brahmachari, which we can find in nowadays ISKCON movement or nowadays Brahmachari movement. The main principle of what's the main difference between Upakurvana Brahmachari and Naishtika Brahmachari? What kind of consciousness do they have? Maybe somebody can guess what's the difference between them. Besides that, one is married soon and the other is not. But what's their realizations in life? What's their realization in life? What's their consciousness like? Yes, Mataji. Thank you. Yeah, it's very close to it. So the main consciousness of Naishtika Brahmachari, what's the difference between Naishtika Brahmachari and Upakurvana Brahmachari is that Naishtika Brahmachari, he has no consciousness that he is a man or woman. Because when we feel that we are men, we need women. And if we feel women, we need men. So the Naishtika Brahmachari consciousness, his realization, he's on a level where I'm not this body, I'm spirit soul. So with this consciousness, the person could stay in Naishtika Brahmachari for the whole life, like Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. So this is the main reason, difference in consciousness. Because Naishtika means that he is on a platform of Nishtha, and he can understand the difference between matter and spirit. Although Upakurvana Brahmachari, he also self-realized soul, and he understands but theoretically. Because Upakurvana Brahmachari, he needs to listen and go through experience, whereas the Naishtika Brahmachari, by hearing, he can get all the realizations of life, basically. This is four kinds of stages in Brahmachari life. Actually, Srila Prabhupada said that when we think about the Brahmacharis, we think, well, we are not Brahmachari. We are grihasthas now, but this is not the case. Actually, Srila Prabhupada said that there is a term as a grihastha brahmachari. That means what's the main principle of brahmachari life is studying the shastras. So we should not think that it's not belong to us. We should think that we still have to educate ourselves. For the rest of our life, for the whole life, we have to educate. In that sense, because brahmachari means brahmacharity, those who acts in on the level of Brahman. So that's we have to cultivate during our whole life to do that. And we shouldn't think, that brahmachari, I'm not the brahmachari. And nowadays, you know, what's the meaning of nowadays brahmachari? It's a third type of brahmachari. Usually it's brahmachari, those who wear saffron cloth, who have no responsibility. Maybe in the past he had three wives or five girlfriends, or maybe few children from different women. And now he became a brahmachari, living from the responsibility of that. This most of the time, I'm no offense, but I mean, this is a life, Western lifetime, lifestyle like that. Those who join in brahmacharya life. here is not in America, not much brahmacharis, but in Russia, there's still a lot of brahmacharis joining and they're practicing. And most of them, you know, some of them already had some previous lives. So four types of brahmacharis, four stages of brahmacharis. I just do Sanskrit and the meaning. The first stage of brahmacharya life is shravana or shabda, when the disciple, he just hears the Vedic scriptures, and he has a little faith in that. He just listening. Another stage called mananam. Stage when he received that knowledge and he reflects on that spiritual knowledge. That's called mananam. The third stage is nididhyasanam, or stage of jnana. Second stage is jnana or mananam. The third stage is vijnana or nididhyasana. That means I forgot this English word. Sorry. One second. So the third stage is assimilation of that knowledge. Assimilation of that knowledge. When he's acting on a stage of understanding that. And the fourth stage of brahmachari life is called shiksha, when he's qualified already to give instructions to others. When he assimilates, when he passed all these stages, when he hears, he reflects, he assimilates, and then he's qualified to teach others. This is a stage of stages that everybody should pass through, and not only brahmacharis. As I said, we're all brahmacharis, and we all because the main thing is education in for the whole life. Unfortunately, in the Western world, there is no such educational system, brahmachari system. Why? Because there is no qualified people to do that. And unfortunately, but still, at the end, I will describe that we still have a hope, and we have a very powerful methods to do that. Another thing that I read from the book of Bhaktivikash Maharaj, nice book, and also from the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Hridayanand Maharaj brings some topics about the different types of brahmacharis, upakurvana brahmachari. First one is a savitra brahmachari, those who, after initiation of the upanayana ceremony, he gives a vow of brahmachari for 3 days. It's called savitra brahmachari, 3 days vow to do the celibacy for the 3 days. And another type of brahmachari called prajapatya. Prajapatya brahmachari is that those who give the vow to, after the upanayana ceremony, take the vow of celibacy for 1 year. It says up to 3 years, between 1 and 3 years, in different sources, different time explained. And the third type of brahmacharis is Brahma. Brahma brahmachari is that from the time of upanayana ceremony up to when he finish all his Vedic studying. It might take up to 12, 15 years or 20 years, between 12 and 20 years, yeah, because usually it's up to, in a traditional system, up to 25, the brahmachari studies, the Vedic So he educate himself in order to pass to another stage of grihastha. And the fourth, of course, three upakurvana brahmachari, and the fourth is an aishtika brahmachari. So those who take a vow of lifelong celibacy. So these are the different types of brahmacharis. And I found in another source that upakurvana brahmachari, if he dies, he attained maharloka. Naishtika brahmacharis attain janaloka. Vanaprasthas attain tapaloka, and sannyasis attain satyaloka if they die at this stage. So I just want to read. We know that Srila Prabhupada gave a lot of instructions to his disciples, many instructions in the books, many instructions to his letters, in his letters, in his personal instructions to the disciples, to the sannyasis about brahmacharya. And maybe I can read couple quotes from Srila Prabhupada, because Srila Prabhupada, our acharya, and we have to abide by his orders, his instructions. I want to read a little bit from this book. Practice of brahmacharya gives good health, inner strength, peace of mind, fortitude, and long life. It helps to conserve physical and mental energy. It augments memory, willpower, clear thinking, power of concentration, and ability to grasp philosophical subjects. It bestows physical strength, vigor, vitality, courage, boldness, and strength of character. To one who practices brahmacharya, divine knowledge comes as if naturally. Those who do not practice brahmacharya must always remain in illusion. Srila Prabhupada said, brahmacharya is very, very essential. When one becomes detestful of sex life, that is the beginning of spiritual life. Without becoming brahmachari, nobody can understand spiritual life. So that, as we see, this to control the sex desires, this is just beginning of spiritual life. Just the beginning. The same thing as we, in the beginning, we promise to our spiritual master to maintain four regulative principles. This is beginning of spiritual life. Initiation means beginning. And I just want to find another quote. It's from the letter to one of his disciples. Sex indulgence is not good. It is grossly material, and we have to surpass it. But when one has staunch faith in Krishna, he will be able to transcend the urge. Now you will be able to chastise your sex dictations. You are determined, so Krishna will help you. Another very important thing, Patanjali Muni says on brahmacharya. We know that Srila Prabhupada oftentimes quotes Patanjali. Brahmacharya is possible only when the mind is free from all sensuous desires, especially the sexual urge, which is the most powerful and which can be most destructive if not directed and channeled properly. Illicit sexual activity dissipates vital energy that is to be utilized for the attainment of higher consciousness. For achieving this goal, the yoga system advises one to organize all his sensory forces and to utilize them in a proper and beneficial way. It teaches control of sensual cravings in order to attain that inner peace and happiness that is greater than all transient bodily pleasures. So we know that all the scriptures and all the religious, they're trying to control these urges, because without controlling sex desires, we cannot progress in our spiritual life. And this is very essential, not only for brahmachari, for everybody. And I just want to read a letter to Brahmananda in January of 68. Please accept my blessings. I'm in due receipt of your letter dated January 68. And I have noted the contents, especially the activities of Maya, carefully. Krishna consciousness movement is actually a declaration of war against Maya. The conditioned souls who wanted to enjoy this material world are captivated by sex desires. If one wants to get out of this material existence, one must control sex desires. Then he explains a little bit details about his brother Gargamuni and Karunamai and Jagadananda and another Mataji. Actually, the association of young boys and girls is very much disruptive for brahmachari life, but in your country it is impossible to stop free mixing of young boys and girls. So voluntarily they have to check these sex desires until they are married. If they are strong enough in Krishna consciousness, any amount of sex urge will not disturb them. Even if it disturbs, it will come and go. Krishna is Madan Mohan, or the enchanter of the Cupid. And Cupid is the god of sex desire. So if anyone wants to enchant Cupid instead of being enchanted by Cupid, he must take shelter of the enchanter of the Cupid, Shri Krishna. So this is just part of the letter that Srila Prabhupada wrote to Brahmananda. So I just want to talk a little bit more about the names of the Kamadev. It's very interesting topics. I just selected, you know, when I prepared to the class, I heard many classes on the brahmachari life and many senior devotees' realizations. And of course, the main source of my knowledge is from His Holiness Bhaktivedanta Goswami. So I just want to. He said that there are three main names of Kamadev. The first name is Manoja. Manoja is the name of Kamadev. Manoja means Manoja, those who was born out of mind. Manoja. So actually, basically, the Cupid or Kamadev, he doesn't exist outside. He exists here, only in the mind. There is no lust outside, and whatever we see, we go through the prism of our mind, and we see that, and according to that, we get agitated. So the second name of Kamadev is, you know, when Brahma was tested by Kamadev, he chased after his daughter. And so after that Leela, Brahma gave him this title, Manmatha. Is another name of Cupid. Manmatha means... Man, also we know the mind, and matha is churning the mind. Another meaning of that is mixer. So the Kamadev, he agitates our mind, he's mixing, he's churning our mind back and back. again and again and again, we start thinking about this lust. And this is another name of Kamadev, Manmatha. It's Brahma gave him that name. The third name, of course, we know is Kandarpa. Kandarpa goes from the Sanskrit word kam darpayami. That means this is kind of question: who I can make proud or happy? This is the meaning of kam darpayami. In other words, when Kamadev appeared before Brahma and he asked Brahma, who I can become proud, happy, and merge into illusion? Kam darpayami. From the verb drik, kam darpayami, drik, there is a root, drik. Drik also means happiness. And another meaning of drik is illusion. This kind of this kind of illusion, when the lust appears in our mind, this kind of compared to some chemistry reactions. So it's a kind of it has like some kind of narcotic nature, because it's when we it's like altered state of consciousness. It's when we take intoxications, our consciousness changes. It becomes altered, altered consciousness. So the same thing when people indulge in sex life. So it's kind of narcotic pleasure, and because of that pleasure, the special hormone appears, endorphin. Yeah, endorphin. It's like when the body produce this endorphin. So we live in a very stressful life, and the endorphins is not enough in our life sometimes. So that's why people take intoxications. It's also endorphins, like chemical endorphins. They just pushing, make a it's like a flash of the endorphin in our body. The same, this actually four principles is making endorphins. When we eat meat, the meat products is has some passion in our life, because otherwise without this four principle of Kali, our life will be not tasty, you know. And that's why people, in order to make our their life tasty, some spicy, so they take meat, they gamble. When they gamble, you know, it's also a lot of injection of endorphin when you want to make more money very quickly. This also endorphin. So when we take, of course, intoxication, this endorphin, and when we have sex, also endorphin. But one German psychologist, the great psychologist of the 20th century, Erich Fromm, he said that when you you have to read his work. It's a very interesting work. I don't know how it's in English, but my translation from Russian that I read, To Be or to Have, his work called To Be or to Have. And he explains very nice. Well, he has many different statements, very deep statements about psychology and about, he studied this actually, the sexual pleasure, sex, what sex, how it's, how it changes our consciousness. So one of his statement, he said, now we now live in a world of joyless pleasures. So in other words, we get in some joy, but we are not getting pleasures. So in other words, that if we when the people get this temporary flash of joy, he actually, at the end, he feels emptiness, and nothing actually changes in his life, because basically the real pleasure, real happiness, when we get this happiness and pleasure, we progressing. And we want it more and more. But perverted pleasures, this also gives us, he explained that also when somebody wants to kill someone, it's also one, some people enjoying by killing. By killing. It's also kind of narcotic nature. When some psychiatrists explain that when they study the murderers, the murderers explain, I enjoy it. I enjoy killing others. I enjoy killing animals. Some people enjoying that, and this kind of endorphins they derive. And they, because of, they get this samskara of this killing, they want to do it again and again and again and again. The same is sex, again and again. And because of that, they're not actually enjoying that, but they become a slave of these habits. So this is conditioned life begins. how degradation begins. All right, so it's I have a lot of material, but okay, I'm gonna finish in a couple minutes. What to tell? Okay, another story I want to. It's back to the. Traditional life of brahmachari, you know, it is explained that only maybe 50-60 years ago there was some ceremony that in a village of Orissa that the parents did for their children when the age of around 8 or 9 or 12 age, they do some festivity in a village, and festivity for the Upanayana ceremony, and the guru, it is a, like traditional thing, and the guru takes his disciple, this young boy around age of 8, takes him to the corner, to the edge of the village, draw 3 lane on a ground, and ask one question. And of course, the parents, they knew that the guru will ask that question at the end. And they said, and they instruct their son, no, say no, don't do that. So the guru asked one question, do you want to remain a brahmachari and continue your study, or you renounce right now? As soon as the tradition is that as soon as you step out of these 3 lanes, you are not allowed to return back to your village back. That means you're taking sannyas at the age of 8. And some people in the 20th century also used to have this ceremony. And it's considered very sinful if the parents complain about that thing, because if the brahmachari, if the boy want to renounce, so he continues his studying, traveling. While traveling, he continues his studying brahmachari life. He started preaching, actually. He's teaching others and he's learning. That's only few. And in the other case, if he said, well, yeah, I want to stay brahmacharya, and so he continues his studying under the direction of the spiritual master. And this, again, he become, if he wants, he can marry later. So this is a tradition. And imagine, yeah, you do the, if you're a parent and you do the festivities, everything, everybody is in joyful mood, and your son decided to go and never come back and never see him again. No parents would do this nowadays. was a very strict traditional system about this. Oh, well, it's 8:46. Thank you very much. I think I will stop there, even though I wanted to say something else, but maybe next time. Actually, I got a lot of information. We know that so many instructions on these topics, very interesting, very inspiring topics about this. Actually, this is should be our life, to educate ourselves. And you know, when we get the go deeper into the spiritual life, it will be easy to practice spiritual life. The only, because you know, nowadays when the I didn't finish explaining the third type of brahmacharya. They usually they tolerate, and they wait until the good mataji will appear, and at that time they will quickly marry. And after that they start enjoying the life, whatever they missed in life while brahmacharya life, they just catch up whatever they missed. Unfortunately, this is not the thing that we should do. But as I explained, we have a very powerful, still we have hope, you know, because we have a five main methods for practicing Krishna consciousness. What are they? Sadhu Sangha, Nama Kirtan, Bhagavat Shravan, Murtira Shadaya Sevan, and Mathura Vas. These five, everybody knows translation, right? So this is, Sadhu Sangha means association with the devotees, chant the holy name, hearing the Bhagavatam, live in the holy place, and worshiping the deities. Actually, Srila Prabhupada in his letters advised to many of his disciples, those who are complaining about they have problems with their sex desire, he said, you have to worship the deities. And every grihastha should worship the deities, because this will help help to overcome this bad deterioration in our spiritual life. So we still have a hope, and we have to be serious about these methods. We have to be serious, otherwise we will be like on a boat with the anchor underneath us, without moving anywhere. Might be for many years we're doing, but we don't feel any progress. But if we take up to this serious process seriously, then we can be able to attain spiritual world. All right, thank you very much for your time, and I'll finish there. Yes, Prabhu. Pundarik Vijayanti.
People itself, also known as Kamadev, no?
Kamadev, yeah, three names of Kamadev, actually. And three names of Kamadev, yeah. Kamadev, yeah, is the main name of Kamadev, yeah. Kamadev, this is a personification of lust. Yes, Mataji. Madhu Mati.
for the nice class. I was thinking that when you were describing about the different, the meat eating and the gambling and how it produces this
endorphin.
Yeah. So I was thinking that I wonder if because they're addictions, yeah.
Yes.
So I was thinking that I wonder if for nowadays people are so much into the internet. So I wonder if that also produces this endorphin.
Yeah.
In my mind, I was just thinking that you were describing. I don't know if the people have done research on that, or if you know anything about that. That if it produces that kind of thing and just
some kind of flash of endorphin. Yeah, of course, from everything, the passion of it. Yeah, it depends whatever we thinking of. As we said, everything in the mind, in the Kamadeva, it's churning, agitates our mind. If we have agitation content, yeah, of course, it's also endorphin. And yeah, and why people overeating also? Overeating because they don't feel enough endorphins in their body, and they eat and eat. It actually, depressed people overeating. Depressed, they need some joy in their life, and they eating, but they not feel happiness. Actually, they eating and overeating eventually. Also, we are trying to get balance of endorphin in their life, because life is not salty. They need some spice. Yeah, internet. Yes, Bill.
I don't want to overpower the endorphins here, though. I mean, it's really the desire of the heart, the condition of jiva, and they'll seek out their
pleasure seeking
sense of pleasure.
Yeah.
In some alternate realm due to some mix of the three modes. So in certain mixes of the three modes, just may heat something from the endorphin, whatever, you know. So I don't know, I'm a little cynical. The internet, I remember 20 years ago, they're freaking about TV being the end of the human civilization, and now nobody talks about that anymore.
Yeah.
And here we still are.
So much powerful.
You can use the internet to do anything. So it was the same thing in Vedic culture. There's plenty of people kind of not focused in more religious back then either.
Yeah.
Obviously, we want to bring in Krishna, because that's the real world.
And when they get this endorphin, it's like what they receive, they just fake of happiness, fake,
Or
just flesh.
It's not the endorphin, it's the desire, we're playing with it. It's the desire of you to find an alternate sense of reality. Mm-hmm. And this pleasure is of no consequence compared to the natural condition. But the jiva, jiva's in the jiva. We got to purify the heart, you know?
Yeah.
Their heart, our heart. And then this endorphin is nothing.
Yeah, we're all pleasure-seeking entities, as Srila Prabhupada explained. All living entities are pleasure-seeking. Yeah, yes. That's what Eric Fromm explains, the psychiatrist. There's nothing, just... Yeah. All right, thank you very much for your... time. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Gaura Premanande, Haribol.